Acts chapter 5, verse 25. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with the doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Verse number 41, 42, let's jump down there. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for these examples that we find in the Bible. Lord, as we get closer to the last of the last of the last days, I think, Lord, we're going to see an increased attempt to persecute the church. The devil hates soul winning. The devil does not want to see the gospel spread. And Lord, we certainly learned in the last year that he has tactics that were beyond even our comprehension to try to shut these things down. So, Lord, we're not sure what we're going to have to face going forward, but we do know who we have to face at the judgment seat of Christ. So, Lord, may we have the heart of the apostles. May we be steadfast in our determination, Lord. Lord, may we not give in to the enemies of soul winning. Lord, may we march forward with the gospel into a brand new year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to give you a brief history of Operation Occupation, talk a little bit about that ministry tonight, and kind of focus in on that ministry in particular, and then broadly into the subject of soul winning in general. But I will tell you that several years ago, I had a company create a map for us that had our bus routes colored on it, and I would go back and pray over that map. I begin to rethink as I was looking at the bus ministry map, and I was praying over our bus captains and workers. And you know what? If you work it on bus 101, then you know what? You think that bus 101 is the best bus route, you know? Now, the bus workers in 202 would disagree with you strongly because they realize the best bus route is 202. And you know what? We have a general consensus that everybody thinks, hey, you know what? I'm on the best bus route. But I begin to think about this idea of being in the bus ministry, and there's a passion that comes with that, a dedication, a loyalty, a determination to be given a part of our Jerusalem and to be able to say, you know what, we need to go into the highways and byways and we need to find these young people and these families without Christ and sign them up and get them in, and thank God for the bus ministry. But I began to think about that same idea when it came to the matter of soul winning. And your preacher has preached, and I mean, I've done it for 25 years that I've been here, a little over that now, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I have preached probably the same message entitled, God Wants You to Be a Missionary, probably 10, 15 times in those years. And I thought to myself, I was saying that message, you know, if you're a missionary, then you ought to have a mission field. You ought to be able to tell people what your mission field is. And I talk about your family as your mission field. By the way, all these things are still true. And I'd say your workplace is your mission field. And where you live, God didn't put you there by accident. You know how your pastor feels about that. I mean, I'll make another trip this spring, and I'll visit the same man, and I'll go to Brazil, Indiana, north of there, and I'll go to the Bee Ridge area, and I'll knock on Jerry Purcell's door, and I'll one more time thank him for looking across the street, caring about Bob and Donna Ross and their four kids and inviting them to church. And so I feel strongly about that. I think that God moved us to that house. Thank God for someone who saw their neighborhood as a mission field. Then I said this, you know what, get involved in a local church ministry that gets you out into your Jerusalem. But I thought to myself, wouldn't it be neat if we could identify a mission field the same way we identify a bus route? We could have a commitment to a geographical area in the same way that our missionaries that just came through in February are being called to specific areas to reach a specific people. And so as I was staring there, I went back in my office and I got a highlighter, not a highlighter, what do you call them things? The dry eraser, there you go. And I just started drawing different, I'd race lines and I'm just having a time. And I, all of a sudden, it just seemed to me the Lord said, this is how we do it. And I think it's been blessed by the Lord. And this whole idea of for a year, you have an opportunity to say, I'm going to make this part of our Jerusalem our mission field. I honestly believe this, that there's not any area that's drawn out there that if somebody will just faithfully give two hours a week of door knocking to, that you can't easily cover that area in that amount of time if you do it consistently. And I know there's going to be weeks you miss sickness and different things happen. But even with that, even with a spattering of that, there's not a one of those areas that somebody will just say 2 hours. I don't mean an hour, you know, piddling around and getting there and 30 minutes doing it and then going by the store and I was gone soul winning 2 hours. I'm talking about 2 hours of door knocking. Folks, you got 168 hours in a week, 2 hours of knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus. I don't think your pastor is asking or projecting something that's unreasonable or cumbersome upon you for those that have a heart for souls. And so we've done this now for 3 years, and we're entering in our fourth year of doing this. And I kept thinking more and more as I was praying, some plant, some water, and God's going to give the increase. For a lot of these areas, this will be the third time. And I'm asking this to be the increase year in this ministry, where we begin to see the effects of faithfully planting, faithfully watering, because we know if we follow that formula, God is not going to let his part down. He's going to do what he's promised to do. And I just kind of had that thought this week and said, Lord, you know what? We've had people who've been faithful and gone out there and done it. It'd be wonderful if this was just the year of an unusual increase in this ministry. And so we began to do this. The idea of it is if you would like to take and adopt for your family a section and then just go through and knock the doors. Now, there's some real benefits. We have so many different people that work shift work and have different schedules. And no matter when I pick as a church soul winning time, there's some people that can come and some people that cannot. And so this gives flexibility in it. Also, maybe you may not feel like you can lead an area and take an area. Preacher, I'm just not sure that I'm feel comfortable enough or grown enough to spearhead that. But I'd be willing to come along somebody else and be a silent partner, a helper, and maybe we could work together. And that's worked well for a lot of our folks that didn't know much about soul winning, but now they have been able to learn it and go with somebody, and now they are now mission field leaders themselves, and it gives us a great training opportunity. There's just so many very positive things about this ministry. I go back there, and I did it this week. I did it yesterday, and I just stood and looked at the map, and I just was overcome, honestly, emotionally overcome, that every place where I see a black line, somebody at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, some faithful labor in the harvest, went out there and knocked those doors and talked to people or left a packet on the door. And, you know, just a wonderful thing that the Lord's done to allow us to have a part of that and do that. And so, honey, would you go run and get me the door hanger? I forgot to bring one of those out here. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we're going to do it. We're going to change it up a little bit this year. And then I'm going to tell you in advance what we're going to do in 2022 as I feel like the Lord's led ahead on that. I usually don't get a clear guidance, but man alive, you know, I like traveling out and around a little bit because I get to go visit churches and I get to meet so many smart preachers with good ideas. And then I steal those ideas and I come home and I use them. Thank you, hon. And then try to sell you on the idea that you have the smartest preacher in America when I think all of you really know that I'm just a thief. Amen. And so, this year we're going to switch it up a little bit. And young people, teenagers, I'm going to involve you in this because we're all going to be doing the same thing. What's so amazing about this ministry is combined with our youth soul winning ministry, Brother Gordon heads up and our young people are faithful to attend. They go out and they do the concentrated population areas of our community. And so even though I signed up for Section 3, and me and Brother Ron did knock on the last door of Section 3 yesterday, and praise the Lord, that should have been two section. I'm just telling you, I don't know who planned that one out, but he messed up. But we got it done. Thank God we got it done. But it's wonderful to think that, you know, even though I'm out there doing the rural, that the group came over just a few weeks ago and went over and did a Bowling Green, and they came in there with a busload, and because the houses are more concentrated, or they can loose those young people, man, high energy and excited, and they get out there and they can cover more doors than us old folks can in a quick amount of time, and they've been a tremendous part of this. Now, instead of doing the packets this year, we're going to do a door hanger, okay? And so we designed a door hanger, and Brother Jeff, these are back in the office area on your information desk, the desk out there in Cheryl's office. Could you put that box of them back there? Now, we had 20,000 of these shipped out Friday morning that's heading our way. I wanted to have it to show you tonight because of anyway, they got off schedule a little bit on printing. They did overnight 250 of these, so we don't have enough of these to give to start everybody on your new area this week using. But by next Sunday, I feel fairly confident that we'll have these. And so instead of the plastic bag packets, we designed a door hanger that introduces our church on this side and also gives the plan of salvation on this side. God offers us certainty in this time of uncertainty. And so you can be certain that God loves you. You can be certain that Jesus died for you. You can be certain that heaven could be your home. Sadly, watch this. If you do not receive Christ, you can be certain of eternal judgment. Folks, listen to me. You can't get the good news if you're not willing to believe the bad news. And then, are you certain that you are ready to meet God? And it gives the Bible verses and so an explanation of the gospel, a little bit of an explanation and encouragement at the bottom of that. For them, if they have any questions, call the church office, and the pastor would love to talk to you and answer any questions you would have. And so we're going to let we want the teens to use this. You'll be using these in your city areas. We'll be using these in rural areas. I mean, it's going to be an epidemic. It's going to be a normal thing for people in this area to come home and find these hanging on their door. And so we'll be using those this year. Now, next year, I got to show you this, and I can't find it. I thought I brought one home from Pennsylvania, and now I can't find it. And I'm good at that. And it's probably in my luggage. I've got to go check. But I was out in Pennsylvania, and I'm going to need the help of some of our men that are good at woodworking and would like to be a part of this. And we're actually going to be starting this in about the next month in preparation for what we're going to do in 22. But the preacher out there, Brother Schweitzer, I'm going to give him credit for this. He gave me a little plastic bag, and he said, hey, when you go back to your room, he said, you got to try to put this cross puzzle together. And it's five pieces of wood, and all you got to do is put it together, and it makes a cross. And I said, okay, yeah, this should be challenging, you know. And he said, good luck. And I thought, this will be fun, you know. And so I thought, five-piece puzzle, put the cross together, cut out of pieces of wood. So I took it in there, and I dumped it out on the little coffee table in the little efficiency apartment they've got there, and I started playing with it. 30 minutes later, I could not put the stupid thing together to make a cross. That is driving me crazy, you know. And when I pulled it out, I didn't realize that when I pulled it out, they have that little piece of paper that shows you how to do it. And it had flipped out, and it was laying, this is crazy, for 30 minutes, it's laying face up right beside where I'm trying to do it, and I don't even notice that it's there. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, come on, this cannot be that hard. And then I look over, and I see the little piece of paper, and as soon as you look at it, you're like, oh, are you kidding me? And so I put it all together, pulled my phone out, took a picture of it, sent it to Brother Schweitzer, and said, really, like that was hard? You know, and And so he texts back immediately, well, you're just amazing. And then I took the answer thing and laid it on top of the cross, took another picture and said, this might have helped a little bit, you know. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to tweak that a little bit. But the men in his church, some of the men in his church that just enjoy woodworking, they tell me that once they have the jigs all set up on this thing, that in about 20 seconds, they can cut out a cross. And what I'd like to do is put those things together. And inside that bag also is a track about the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, it's not connected directly to the puzzle, and we're going to kind of rewrite and redo one that will be more. What I want to do is instead of having the answer in the packet, what I want to do is I want to have a, you tech people, help me, what is it? QR code. And what you would do is you would scan that with your phone. Some of you, 50 and older, have no idea what I'm talking about. And that's okay. That's probably good. All right. But if you scan the QR code, then it will take you to our church website and a video will pop up that will explain how to put it together. And the reason I want to do that is as I make a video of telling them, showing them how to put it together, I'll also be able to talk about the five pieces and what they represent, and in about 2 minutes, give them a clear presentation of the gospel. Now, you can imagine, folks, that we're going to have to cut out about over 10,000 of these in order to be able to pull it off. So what I thought is we'd start working on it this year and get ready for next year's launch. So we'll do the door hangers this year. And just to kind of honestly change things up, people are kind of getting used to coming and seeing that bag, and this will be just something different. Next year, we'll be able to give them that gift, and it'll be not only everything in the packet will revolve around the cross and talk about the cross. And so that's kind of what we're doing in the future. Some of you that are older, that really this kind of a ministry is just not possible for you anymore, I want you to know that you can have a really important part of this by the guys that do it in his church. There's two or three older guys. And they were showing me pictures, and they're going to take pictures of how they do it and how they set it up and how they can mass produce these things and videos. And they're going to get all that information to me, and I'm going to hand all of that to Matt Harrison. Matt likes to work woodworking, and then I'm going to have you spearhead that and recruit people that will help you. You figure it out. You go show other people and figure it out. And then that way, if it's not done by next year, well, we can blame Matt, okay? And so I always look for a scapegoat. That's the number one principle of leadership. So work for me, amen? And so I know we've taken quite a bit of time with this, but I want to just say this, folks. Thank you. Thank you. I know not everybody's involved in this ministry. Nobody in any church ought to all be involved in one ministry. It's okay. I've even said to our bus workers, you know, you sacrifice a lot of time to be in the bus ministry. And so because of that, you know what, I don't expect you to try to do double duty. Some of them have taken areas because it's in their bus route. They say it helps them, keeps them out soul winning. And so I'm not saying you can't. I am saying this, that I don't want any family in this church to get to the point where we are having you do so much that you are not having family time. You're not, you know, I want you to live a balanced life. I want you to serve the Lord. I want you to have time for your marriage. I want you to have time for your kids. And I also would encourage you, to me, a lot of times that is not a decision that one has to work against the other. If you do get involved in this, I'm glad that many have made it a family affair. Dad's taking children with them. Husband and wife's teams going together. Wives taking daughters. And sometimes two couples working together and they're the ladies are going together and the men are going together. They get good fellowship. There's a lot of different ways that you can do this. Whatever works for you will be fantastic. And I'm just looking forward to this. Let me have you look down at verse number 32 of what we just read in Acts chapter 5. The Bible says this. This is what they were able to say that day. These men had been arrested. They're being persecuted. Thank God for Peter. Thank God for his boldness. But he said this, he said, and we are his witnesses. It says in verse 30, and God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with the right hand to be a prince and a savior. By the way, leave the King James Bible alone. These are beautiful words, all right? I mean, think about this. Jesus, verse number 30, a prince, verse number 31, a savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And then he said this, after he talked about Jesus and described him, he said this, and we are his witnesses of these things. One of the things that I want to stand up here and be able to say, and I want to say before you, and I want to be able to say at the judgment seat, is that, Jesus, I was one of your witnesses. The Lord dealt in my heart at a young age, 17 years of age, and just actually younger than that, about the time I was 15 and a half, we went to a youth conference just like these young people went to. Listen, God changed my heart and my life at those places. And young people, you made some decisions while you were down there. And people, I'm tired of people saying, oh, these kids go and they make decisions, they come back, they don't keep them. Well, I kept some of mine. And I've watched kids keep theirs. You can keep them. And I just got Ron Comfort, who will be with us first Sunday this year, in his 80s, still an evangelist, still being used of God. And he got up and challenged, young preacher then, and got up and challenged us and preached on the crucifixion. And I sat there and watched Jesus. I think for the first time in my life, it was like I could see him die. And I realized somebody died for me. And I went forward. And I said, Jesus, up to this time in my life, I've been ashamed to talk about you, ashamed to witness for you. I'm never going to be ashamed again. I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to speak up. I'm going to tell people. And, you know, I wasn't super Christian. And honestly, I was a little bit of an introvert. It was hard for me to talk about the Lord and witness. But I came home, and I showed up to men's visitation. They didn't have teens so many back in those days. And we showed up at men's visitation, and I told my dad, I want to go start going with you. And I just started going to men to this church. Brother Don Mary took me out. Brother Charles English took me out. You know, Brother Townsley took me out. Older men in this church that took me out soul winning. And you know what? I listened to them and learned from them. And every once in a while, they'd get to lead somebody to the Lord. And man, I didn't walk back to the car. I floated back to the car. And I thought, I got to see that. I got to witness that. Then as I got going, they began to push me and say, you're going to take this next door. And sometimes all I could do was just do the basics, you know, hey, we're from the Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and here's the gospel track, and here's the time of our service, and we'd like to invite you to church. And if the person would have fell down and said, what must I do to be saved? I'd have went, I don't know. Come here, help them out, you know. And I share that with you because I want you to know sometimes you think that some people are just born soul winners. You know, nobody's born a soul winner, you know. We all have to go. We have to learn. We have to pray. We have to do it that first time. We have to stumble. We have to mess up. We have to embarrass ourselves. We get it half right. We think, man, I'm not cut out for this. And then we just go back and do it again. And you know what? As we do, the Lord begins to help us develop into soul winners. And so I love what we're doing here in the ministry here. I love that part of the training in our Bible club is just introducing young people, in our Christian school, introducing young people to the plan of salvation, memorizing the verses that they need and will someday use. I'm glad when young people get to seventh grade, they begin to be incorporated into our youth soul winning program. A lot of these kids are not going to have the struggles of some of you adults and some of the things that hindered me because it's like breathing to them. They were raised up in it. I got into it fairly early, but still it was a learning curve for me. And so what we try to do is just raise them up so that they know how to do it, and they're willing to do it. They build that boldness, and they learn how to do it. And soul winning is such an important thing. I like that. He said this in verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things. By the way, did you see the next one? I'm going to take the notes I was going to cover, set them aside, and we're going to preach out of verse 32. How about this? First thing we ought to decide is, are you going to be one of the witnesses? Hey, the Jehovah Witnesses, or I should say this, JFW, as I call them, Jehovah False Witnesses, they're out there doing their thing. Okay, false witnesses are out there. Mormons are out there. Where's the born-again believers? Where's the salvation by grace through faith people? Why aren't we out there? Can you say, come on, just answer this question, folks. Can you say, right now, preacher, I can look back at 2020 and I can say that I was one of his witnesses. I want that to be a part of my life. I want to be a part of that. I want to be involved in that. There is no greater story that you can tell than the story of salvation. To be able to go to a door and deliver the message I delivered, only you do it one-on-one. Somebody died for you. Somebody died for you. So we are his witnesses of these things. Notice the second part of that verse. And so is also the what? Hey, you don't have to go alone. Boy, this is exciting. Now that means that, you know, the Bible says back in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, and I'll read it real quick to you. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Now, those things are contained in the same verse for a reason. You know what? We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. He is a key component in helping us to be bold witnesses. Don't try to do it without him. You know what? You'll need his help. That's why we talk about the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not running away from that Bible doctrine. I'm not letting the charismatic steal it from us. There's a difference between being indwelled by the Spirit of God and being filled with the Spirit of God. And you know what? What happened in Acts 1 and 2 was the filling of the Spirit of God. And because of that, we see them boldly go out and witness. You know, Peter's preaching in the street, but there's 119 other Christians in personal soul-winning opportunities. As a result, 3,000 people came to Christ. What a time. Wouldn't that be something? But you know what? We see here in Acts 1:8, Jesus told them, listen, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In fact, on Mount Olivet, he told them, you go and tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Endued with power from on high. And there's something about this impossible story, a miraculous story, almost an unbelievable story. Without faith, there's no way someone can accept this story. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit of God as we're speaking human words. The Holy Spirit of God is dealing in a way with that person that none of us have the power to do. We need the partnership of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what it says. It says back in verse 32, chapter 5, and we are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. Now, that means the Holy Ghost says, okay, I'm inside of you, bud, and I'll tell you what I want to do. I'm telling you what I'm dying to do. I'm telling you what one of the purposes that I'm sent here is. I want to empower you, and let's go witness. Well, preacher, I would have went, but I couldn't find a partner. Well, when I go by myself, I still have a soul-winning partner. I don't have to go by myself. And you know what? The Holy Spirit of God is, I think the Holy Spirit of God's inside of some Christians locked up. And you know what? For the entire time of their life, he's just frustrated. He's just frustrated. You know why? Because one of the primary purposes he was sent here was to empower the witnessing of a Christian. Imagine that, his frustration to live inside of a Christian that won't witness. So how in the world can he empower what we won't do? And so we do not have to do this alone. And we look at the last part of the verse. It says this, whom God hath given to them that what? Obey him. And you know what? We can't claim to be an obedient Christian if we are not involved in sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, in that arena, that area of our life, we're living in disobedience. Folks, we could go to supporting verses. We could go and show you and go deeper and drill a little deeper on this. But I want to tell you something. You've been given in this ministry a great opportunity. We have lots of people in this church that God has blessed and given them the ability to go out and do this. They had to learn it just like I had to learn it, but they've learned it. And if you're not, skilled in this, preacher, I don't even know what to say, and I don't know how to start. You don't understand my personality. I remember when Brother Josh and his wife signed up the first time to go, he came to me and he said, I don't know if you understand, Pastor, so I'm just going to say it to you, okay? When you're up there talking about walking up to a door and knocking on it and telling people about Jesus, and you're like this is the most normal, natural, easy thing. Me and my wife, when we think about doing that, we are terrified. I love that kind of honesty. And I said, well, let me tell you this. I said, I'm going to hook you up with another couple, and why don't you just help them for a year? And you know, by the end of that year, he came to me and said, you know what, we can take our own section now. I love that. I love that kind of honesty. The only mistake I made is I put him with Nathan. And even though he learned soul winning, there's so many other things he learned that we had to, you know, take another year and try to undo those things. But overall, it came out pretty good. It came out pretty good, all right? So that's the opportunity that's here for you. And I don't know. I mean, husbands, wives, you know, Here's the arena of my authority and influence in the local New Testament church. I know where the circle is. I know where the line is. I get up and I appeal to the men, the leadership of each home, and I say, I want you to think about, pray about this. I want you to talk to your wives about it. And you know what? You've got to make a decision for your family. I want you to look at what you're already involved with. I understand that there's some of you that probably, if you try to take on this and try to do other things that you're already doing, and I promise you, I won't throw rocks at you, and I'm not going to condemn you. And listen, folks, it's not your job or my job, but especially not any Christian's job to walk around and decide what somebody else ought to be doing more for the Lord, okay? Get off that stuff, all right? You know, I think it said tonight, let a man examine himself. I don't know about you, but I have enough of a hard time just keeping Jerry Ross in line. I'm glad it's not my job to go around and try to police everybody and everything that they're doing. But I will say this, you ought to talk about it within your life and look at everything you've got going on. And if you are doing this some other way or you're busy in some other ministry that incorporates soul winning, and good for you, good on you. But we're going to give you another opportunity. At the conclusion of the service tonight, after our invitation, I'm going to go back there. And Brother Young, do you have that sign-up slip that you brought the other day? Or could you print it off? Can you get one of those? I don't even know. I may have grabbed that thing. I don't know. But and if you want to meet me back there, even if you just want to ask questions, get information, even if you want to just listen, I'm not asking you to even make a decision tonight, but we do want to, in the next week or so, begin to sign up for people and get people to sign up and commit to take on these areas. Look right up here, I'm done. I would be wrong not to just take a minute and say to everybody that's been involved in any outreach in 2020, think about 2020. That was challenging. Some of these folks that were rushing to the finish line trying to get some things done. I mean, we had to overcome obstacles like we've never had to face here. And some of the limitations and some of the things we had to do. But I want to thank you for just hanging in there. And we felt our way through it. And we got back into it. When I tell people that we were having church, in-person church by May 1st, and started our bus ministry by the third week of May, and started full-fledged soul winning in June 1st, they look at me like I was out of my mind. But you know what I found out, what we found out since then? As we've gone out there, and I saw it again yesterday, people are hungry to talk about things. They have a lot of questions. They know unusual things are going on. They've heard in America enough Bible and enough preachers or have a grandma that was a believer, to begin to want to talk about the last days and what's going on. There's an openness that I haven't seen in 20 years for people willing to be able to stand on a porch and listen and talk and ask questions and interact. And so I think the fields are white into harvest. And so if you want to meet me back there, if you have any questions, we'll talk about it. Let's all stand. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time that we got to spend together, Lord, tonight. Started out with us going to Calvary. And then, Lord, to be able to get the good reports from the different ministries, what you've done with the young people's hearts this week, what you've done, Lord, in the Operation Occupation Ministry. Coming off of February and Missions Emphasis Month and all that we heard and all the areas and ways we've been challenged. Wow. And now an opportunity, Lord, we're looking ahead. Revival's coming up next week and a chance for you to do more in our hearts and the launching of Operation Occupation and then Sunday school teachers and bus captains gearing up. Here we go, spring attendance campaign. Lord, I just feel like that this area is just wide open. And Lord, we can't miss this window of time. So help us to be busy the best of our ability. Lord, help us to be involved. There may be someone in here that because of their physical limitations say, preacher, I can't go knock doors, but I can pray for those that are. Thank you for those that pray. Thank you for those that have packed the stuffed packets, and thank you for those that have put money in the plate so we can afford to buy the materials that we've passed out. New opportunities as we head towards 22. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just help us, Lord. Lead us to some soul today. Oh, teach us, Lord, just what to say. Help us to look for the people around us, those divine appointments, those prepared hearts. Lord, prepare us tonight for your great work of evangelism. We pray in Jesus' name.